Okay. Welcome all to the Coaching Skills Forum. This is our wonderful, exciting call. We have coaches from all over the place. Very exciting. And before we begin, I was just checking in with the group and saying, okay, typically, I'll set the recording. And then typically, we usually start off with a basic definition of our skill. Today's skill is designing the alliance or creating the relationship. So I'm checking in, asking the group, does it make sense? I should probably start off with a basic definition. Actually, I should probably start off with some basic, kind of need-to-know items. And then we'll start off with a basic definition. And then I was wondering if it's all right to then reach out and throw the questions to you and see what you guys are thinking and what you know about this wonderful skill. How does that sound?
Fine with me.
Right. We got one person who sounds really good. Anybody else?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Okay,
yes,
good.
Okay. Works for me.
Okay, great. So basic need to know things. If there is noise going on around you, please *6 to mute yourself. But please make sure that you are unmuted because these are open calls. And this is where we really get to communicate, we get to share, we get to connect, we get to grow, we get to help each other and really share what we've learned and what we know from our own training and our own experience. So keep your lines open if it's at all possible. And be ready to jump in also, because it's no fun when you're trying to like yell something into the group and nobody can hear you because you're muted. Oh no, wah, wah, wah. So if you are calling for credits and some of you are looking for CCEUs to continue on and renew your credentialing, these calls are worth a single core competency credit. The easiest way to get them is to basically, once this call is done, you can go and visit the website, which is coachingskillsforum.com. Really easy to remember because this is the Coaching Skills Forum call, so go to coachingskillsforum.com. There you will see a huge list of all the upcoming calls, all the topics and times. You'll also see a list of over 100 archived recordings. This one will soon be among them. Unless, of course, you're listening to the recording and then it's already an archived recording. Wow, time just collapsed. And then you'll see also three buttons. One where you can make a single purchase for your credit. You'll need to provide the date and time, and there's a space for that, as well as a password to prove that you have been listening and being a part of this call. And the password will show up somewhere in the middle of this call. There isn't one before, and there isn't one afterwards, but we put it in the middle just to kind of encourage you to listen a little more actively. And we hope that you will also participate more fully. Also, if you really are excited about these calls and you know I'm going to want as many credits as I can possibly cram in there, you can also sign up for a one-year membership. And then that means basically you've just paid once, and anytime you need a credit for a live or an archive call, you just send me a notice, and then it comes flying your way. Other than that, I think we're good. You'll also see links to the Facebook and LinkedIn groups. These are where you can get reminders for the calls that are coming up, and also we can continue on these conversations and share resources. We try to keep it marketing free so that it's really a place where we just get to grow each other. So if you have, I read this book and it was exactly what we were talking about, or here's a quote or something else, this is where we can share that information. So you can check that out as well. Okay, so let's take a look at the exciting world of designing the alliance. And actually, I'm fully aware that that may be a limiting term. So they also can be looked at. It also can be looked at as wow. Suddenly, I'm having phone stupid trouble. All right. Wow. Okay. Hold on. Now I'm having trouble. I may need.
really need to call back in, Ben?
Yeah. For some reason, I cannot access my description. So I'm going to check in. Does anybody out there have this particular skill? I pulled from the Coactive Coaching Manual. I've actually pulled these from several sources and combined them all together to really try to create as rich a wide palette of coaching skills as we have. So does anybody happen to have a copy of the Coactive Coaching book with them?
I do.
Oh, good. Well, I'm looking. Hopefully, you'll have one. And in the glossary, there's something about designing lions.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Would you be willing to be my handy dandy assistant and read out the definition so that we all kind of have a starting ground to where we're, you know, where we're coming from?
Of course. I have to find it first.
Oh, you have to find it first.
You say it's in the glossary?
I can do this, Ben. I've already got it turned to the
page.
Have you
got it?
Okay,
yeah, great. We'll jump into that for time's sake. Thank you very much, Doc.
Okay. So, this is Hillary, and there's three different places in the Coactive Coaching Manual that they talk about the Designed Alliance.
Okay.
And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read them all either.
It basically says
the Designed Alliance surrounds the coach and client in the Coactive Coaching model and represents the container within which coach and client do their work. And then skipping down, it says, in simplest terms, the design of the alliance looks at questions such as, what are the questions that need to be in place for the two of us to work together effectively? What are the obstacles or potential obstacles? What are the fundamental questions that need to be answered in order to get the most out of this process? And then toward the back of the book, it talks about how the Design Alliance is based on certain learning models developed by all these different people, Winnicott, Kagan, Delaws, Wales, et cetera, as in holding the environment. And then the book talks about how this is meant to engender trust and nurture a strong relationship.
Wow. Actually, I love that. It's so funny. I have this on my phone, and I tried to access this, and for the first time, my phone got stupid and said, I don't want to go there. So I guess I'm going to have a conversation with my phone. But I love that right at the end that it's brought up about, certainly about trust, but then there was also, read that last part again.
Well, it's all based on the learning theory, and it says that it's a holding environment to engender trust and nurture strong, nurturing relationships.
Beautiful. The one thing that grabs up, and I'll take this moment to throw out a quick little commercial, I believe that is the topic for our next call in 2 weeks, which is designing supportive environments. I tried to combine these skills when they were very similar or the same thing, just different terminology, but this one felt different, so I'm already really excited about the next call and seeing just how different and or similar it is to this topic. So please join us in 2 weeks on Wednesday, and you'll get that. You can see all the times and stuff like that on the coachingskillsforum.com. So let's turn this to everybody here. I'd love to hear, let's start with some basic questions, which is when we're talking about designing the alliance, creating the relationship, establishing the partnership, what is it that we're really talking about, especially in coaching terms? How does this show up in our coaching?
We're agreeing to work with clients on certain goals. We're agreeing on how to be with that client.
Got it. So agreeing on how to be with the client. Actually, it's funny. What's kind of sparked me is it's not just about how to be with the client. It's kind of almost agreeing how to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I promise I won't beat up on you. I won't pick on you.
Yeah. Great. What else are we talking about when we say, you know, designing the alliance and all of that jazz? What does that mean for you?
Agreeing on the objective.
The objective?
The goals.
the goals, the objective, kind of what is this all about. Yeah, actually, maybe that's where we need to go, is kind of what we've got, this sort of heading, designing the alliance, building the relationship. But what is actually, what does that mean? What are we including in this conversation?
This is Lynn.
Yeah, Lynn.
I'm going to go back actually to that idea of agreeing on how to be.
Oh.
Because I think that under that heading, one of the things that's really important in my world is suspending all judgment.
Ooh. Yeah, that can't be important, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so suspending, and that's really, boy, as soon as you said that, anybody else kind of hear that, like, oh, yeah?
Well, I have to say I did. This is
yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because I think it's difficult to be completely non-judgmental, no matter what, being human. We have
well, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, we have to issue around it. And at the same time, you know, when we're listening to clients, I think of this designing the alliance as creating the safe space so that they can truly tell you what's really going on. And even if they say something like, that woman is just a bitch and she never does anything right, which is their judgment, and of course you're listening to it and you're getting some taint from it. But you might agree if you happen to know the same person. Or you might disagree if you happen to know the same person. But the trick is, you know, trying not to infuse your opinion into the conversation and just ask them to take a look at, well, what's that mean when you say she's a bitch and she never does anything right?
Well,
and that's a container for me.
Yeah, actually, it's interesting because, you know, you mentioned something about, well, then you kind of need to agree that this woman is a bitch and blah, blah, blah. So is this, so I'll check in, and I'd love to hear from kind of anybody. Is this about agreeing? Is that what we're talking about?
This is one again. I think that really what was shared was more an acknowledgement that you heard them rather than an agreement of the point.
Yeah. So in other words, it's not setting up like, well, you know, if you say she's a bitch, then why, yes, she is. My goodness, we'll go that. So it's not creating an agreement with the client so that whatever they say is the golden word.
Hi, and this is the other Lynn. To add on to that, I think, you know, if we know the person, we may certainly have an opinion. And in coaching, I think it's really, what's the best way, designing the alliance would be, what would be the best way for you to work with this person or to address this person or to deal with this person? That,
yeah.
That you know, I think what would serve the client. Since if they're a bitch, you can't change them. It's hard enough changing us.
Yeah. By the way, Lynn, I know that's not what you meant. I'm just taking this down an exaggerated direction.
Yes.
Yeah. But so that's good. So what I'm hearing is there's you know, it's funny. The word that starts popping up for me is like troubleshooting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, let me ask it this way. See what pops up. What makes designing the alliance, you know, creating the relationship, what makes this important? Why should we waste time with this? I just want to start coaching, and now I got to do all this designing crap.
I think that's the atmosphere and makes the... client feel that you care enough to bother to set it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that it's not a fake thing. It's a real thing.
Yeah. Well, and I think it was even brought up about that establishing that feeling of trust or that safe environment, as you just said.
Yeah.
But why is that important? Why do I need to even bother doing that?
Because you know where you're headed.
Okay. Anyone else?
I think it's like setting the ground rules so that you know where you're going. It's like a roadmap.
That roadmap, like that ground one. Rules?
I like that idea of ground rules.
Yeah.
This is Mary in Ohio. With this kind of thing, I always think about boundaries.
Boundaries, sure.
You know, people, when they have concerns, oftentimes there's a boundary issue there, where someone's run roughshod over their boundaries or their boundaries are set really high. In designing the alliance, you're helping them say, okay, here's where we're going to set the boundaries and we're going to discuss what you're comfortable with. Approaching as a client. And those may be changed as you go, but they know where it is to start, and there's comfort in that.
Yeah. Beautiful. So we've got boundaries, we've got kind of that creating the ground rules, as I said. What else makes this important? Why, I mean, we're really, this is, I have this feeling that it's a very critical element to powerful coaching.
Yes, it is. Because it, I think that it ensures the client that you understand them from the beginning. And that's always a scary thing. Is this person going to get me?
Yeah.
Yeah. What who the hell is this person I'm working with? And when they come back with, I hear you saying da-da, they feel heard and cared about.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Nia from Bloomington Normal.
Welcome,
Nia. Thank you. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that I really think that designing the alliance sets the tone for the coaching relationship. It you know, most of the time when you form a contract with somebody, somebody hands you a contract and you read it and sign it. In the designed alliance, you both contribute to it. You both have a voice. And I think it sets a really necessary foundation for equality within the relationship. And,
yeah.
You know, and really showing that you want the client to have a voice in what happens. And it's a mutual relationship.
Yeah, I love it. I love that you set that up. It sets the tone. This is really the first deep and intimate taste that you have of each other, of you, of the client, as well as the client of you. Maybe the first. Maybe there's, you know, some sample sessions or whatever. But this is where really the relationship gets to start.
Yeah.
Somebody else was wanting to jump in there. Go ahead.
This is Debbie. I think to build on that, it also says that it's going to be their agenda.
Yeah.
And by creating that bowl or that container, it's the ground rules for your agenda to work out within this safe structure.
Well, it is. I love that you bring that up. So here's the question that just popped in my head, which is, so whose agenda is it to design the alliance?
Both client and the coach.
Okay.
I mean, if you're working in a coactive way, that is what that's what you're doing.
Yeah. So even though the client may not, yeah, go ahead, Lynn.
I'm going to throw out that I think that the client doesn't necessarily even know they want an alliance. So it's kind of our responsibility to talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, client, all right, now we're going to do this. Blah, 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 blah.
You know what?
Well, yeah, but
that's
they may not know.
Sorry, Jen.
Go ahead.
No, I think that's so important because I'm new to this. And just the other day, one of my clients said to me, you know, I wish you'd beat up on me more and make it a little more clear. And I thought, uh-oh, I never defined an alliance with this woman.
Yeah. But I love that there's even the transparency of, okay, you know, and maybe not using that terminology, you know, if we're going to design an alliance, because that's a very, it feels like a very coaching, you know, jargon terminology sometimes.
Yeah.
But this is what we're doing. We're going to build the relationship. We're going to negotiate our boundaries. We're going to discover how we work together effectively and efficiently so that you can get the most and the best out of this. And I love the transparency. Rather than just trying to be all sly and clever, we're going to design the alliance and the client won't even know it.
Right. Well, and again, this is Linda, if you're being coactive, that's the
stuff.
Yeah.
Well, so that brings me actually to this other question, which is, so if designing the alliance and all of those versions of it are so important and so wonderful, what gets in our way? What stops us from doing this?
So this is Hillary, and I would say that one of those questions that they talk about in the Coactive Coaching book, you know, it suggests that we actually talk to the client about, well, what are the obstacles or potential obstacles that can get in the way? Well, that's a pretty tough question to ask.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, one of the tough questions I ask that rarely gets a clear answer is, you know, how will I know that you shut down, or how will I know I've pushed you too hard? What does that look like? And it's a hard question to answer because it's a territory we don't address that often.
And where I go with that, this is Linda, is I would think that part of what I would want is, just like my client told me the other day, she wanted to be beaten up here, is to make sure they tell you.
Yeah.
Is that just, we're supposed to be more sensitive and hearing pain and so on? Or it seems to me, sometimes you don't hear it, especially with an adult. Who's good at hiding things because that's what they do.
Yeah, and you know, and assumptions, and well, this should already be known, and well, it's obvious and clear, blah blah blah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think from now on, I'm designing an alliance that says you have to tell me if I'm hurting your feelings.
Yeah.
If I've gone too far.
Mm-hmm. You know, I hate to, it feels so strange bringing this up, but what's coming to mind, and please, everybody with full permission, I'm thinking about the bondage domination community. Now, be with
me. There's a reason for that, Ben, because there's a whole lot about permission in that.
There is. I actually have a couple of friends who attended a convention at one time, and they were telling, and it actually, there is so much permission, and there is so much clarity of boundaries, and this is when it's too far, and this is when it's okay, and I may be squirming, and I may be reacting uncomfortably, or tell you to stop because of my own limitations and fears. But deep down and truly, I want you to go on, and this is how you will know when it's truly time to stop. I mean, there's a clear agreement that are created.
Yeah, I just keep thinking, this is Linda, I just keep thinking of Shades of Grey and how she learns to say, I think the word stop, when it's just too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that whole community has a code around safe words.
Yeah, you have a safe word. And
right.
It's not one that comes out normally, you know, accidentally. It's like bunny rabbit. Oh, wow. You know, when I say bunny rabbit, that means we're done.
Right.
And, you know, and there is something about it that it's a very clear, very respectful set of boundaries and agreements and partnership.
I love the idea of not hurting someone's feelings just because I haven't gotten it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's certainly probably another thing that gets in our way and stops us from creating this relationship and these agreements with our clients is, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings if I say something that's going to upset them.
But if I know they're going to yell bunny rabbit.
Yeah,
exactly.
Bunny rabbit.
I don't think I've ever had a client say that.
Say bunny rabbit?
Yes.
great. Now, you know that there's a whole new wave of coaching now. There's going to be like bunny rabbit coaching. All right, now, client, if I push you too far, just scream bunny rabbit.
Ben, this is Linda. Do I have your permission to use bunny rabbit?
You do.
Well, I like
it. Oh, that's funny.
Soft. You know, bunny rabbit soft. And
yeah.
What it's saying is soften up on me.
Yeah.
That's how I hear it.
Yeah, by the way, I just made that up. That's not my own personal code word, just to let anybody know. So anything else that comes up that pops up in our heads of what are some of the obstacles that do get in the way of designing an alliance and creating and establishing these boundaries and agreements with our clients? What stops us? What's hard about it?
Well, I think sometimes we just want to jump in and we're excited, we're enthusiastic, and we just want to jump up and go.
Yeah, just jump and go. So, how you doing today, client? Well, this is my problem. This is what I'm working on. Okay, let's go and let's do it. Let's do some coaching. I want to get some good results so my client will love me and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Yeah. Actually, that's happened several times for me, and then suddenly, I think it was even mentioned before, it's like suddenly, you know, 3 months have gone by, and I'm going, wait a minute, we haven't created anything. We hit the ground running, but, you know, I don't know how to do this. You know, how far can I go, you know, or is this taboo, or whatever it is. Go ahead.
Now, this is Linda. The other thing I like about doing this is it does, if you agree to do this in your coaching, then it does, I think it's good to tell the person you're going to be doing that.
Yeah.
So that they don't think, oh, my God, am I ever going to get coached? But I think it's very important to let them know how much you care about their feelings and their boundaries. The other thing that comes to mind for me is that it makes it intimate.
Yeah.
Our coaching.
Yeah, boy, thank you. Oh, thank you for bringing that up. It was kind of brought up before, too, but that it's not just, I'm going to coach you. This is our coaching.
Yeah. This is what we've agreed together, and it's very personal.
Mm-hmm. You brought up something that really threw me kind of an interesting question, and I'm curious as to what the response is, because it was sort of mentioned like, well, we need to design the alliance and then we'll coach, and one of the things that gets in the way of designing alliance is when we jump in and start coaching first.
Yeah.
So are they mutually exclusive of each other? Is coaching and designing two separate things?
No, I think it's part of it, because we're kind of giving them a hint about what coaching it, you know, how we're going to be with them. And so we need to be that.
This is Marion, Ohio. My thought was, wouldn't it be nice to have all our relationships as clearly defined?
Wow. Wouldn't it?
There's a line.
I went home. Yeah, when I first learned this, I went home and I started, like, you know, trying to, like, create sort of designing questions with my wife, you know, not to coach, but, like, you know, well, I mean, how do we do this? How do we handle that? What happens here? You know, and it was a fascinating conversation.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think this is so helpful to me. Thank you, guys.
You know, if we look at coaching as a way of helping clients discover what they want and how to get it, you know, one of the things that we're all wanting, it was even brought up here, which is we're all wanting to be seen. We're wanting to be gotten. We're wanting to be recognized and valued. And, wow, if we're doing that right off the bat with designing, isn't that contributing and creating the coaching right there?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Just to add one more thing, I think clients want to be heard. We all want to be heard.
Yeah. And so even if we start going in about, like, well, what are some of the fears and concerns you have about this coaching? Great. They get to be heard. What is it that you want most deeply out of this work?
Sorry, Ben. I have a question.
I have an answer, and I'll bet everybody else does, too.
I hope. It's Linda.
Wait, should we design how we want to handle this question, everybody, or do we just...
just dive right in. We'll see where it goes.
All right, go ahead.
What happens, I mean, what would you suggest if you get someone who says, I don't want to be hurt, I don't want to, you know, and just carries on like a lunatic about, I mean, just too many boundaries?
Well, you got game. If I'm hearing the question, like, if you're trying to create this is designing, and they have too many boundaries, and they're kind of shut down and withdrawn, they don't want to explore, is that what I'm hearing?
Right. It's just telling you, I don't want you to talk about anything personal. I don't want you to talk about your entire life.
Let's not get into all this touchy-feely personal stuff, and, you know, I'm not going to go and, like, curl up on a ball and, you know, and sing Kumbaya and, you know, and burn incense and all that. I just want to get coached and fix my life.
Well, yeah. the other thing that I've said to people is don't leave me at the end of an hour or whatever the session. Don't leave me bleeding.
Mm.
Wow. This is Hillary. Those are interesting adjectives.
Wow, yeah.
I've actually had this experience where, because I do work with people who live in their heads a lot, and they come to me for career coaching, and they say, I don't want to talk about anything except for what I need to do about my career.
Right.
Then you find out they're fighting with their chairman, their marriage isn't very good, their kids are in trouble, and you're like, you know, the whole deal with coaching is it looks at the big picture. And if they continue to resist for like a long time, several weeks for me, you know, like 3 or 4 weeks, I'm like, I think you might want to talk to a therapist. This is Lynn. I was going to bring that up as well, that sometimes they're not ready to be coached if there are too many boundaries.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is interesting, kind of when we discover this, because I'm, you know, there is something about playing that game. Okay, well, it sounds like you're having some, you know, frustrations with family stuff, but, you know, you said that you didn't want to go there. We're going to just focus on business. Is that still the same, or shall we go here? And it brings up the question of, when do we design? Do we just design in the beginning? That's it. We've got all the agreements. We've established the boundaries, and this is what happens. We've got it from day one. Now it's going to work out exactly that way from now on.
Well, it does make sense to amend your agreement.
Yeah. So, you know, for any of us who are in any type of relationship or have children or friendships or anything like that, yeah, we all had it figured out on our first time together.
This is Hillary, and I'll just say, I think you have to constantly recreate this.
Yeah.
Constantly.
You write it down?
For that particular client or versions of that client that set up too many boundaries, one way, not the only way, but one way that can be going is that as you continue down, to have them start to recognize there is more to it than this, and that, you know, shall we redesign and kind of maybe adjust these agreements?
Mm-hmm. Well,
and then kick them out and say, you know, you're messed up, go to the therapist.
Well,
go ahead.
It seems to me that I may be not understanding enough yet, but it seems to me that there are many, many things that you can handle without having to say to the person, oh, my God, you need a therapist.
Yeah.
Because they're just people issues that are just every day. It's not that the person's nuts or that he's, you know, neurotic or...
Well, this is Lynn, and I'm just going to say that for me, that the biggest difference is if someone wants to explore a deep root cause, you know, kind of, right, I have no background in therapy,
Right.
You know, I need to be really clear in my boundaries that we're crossing the line of what my expertise is.
Yeah, so the boundaries work both ways.
Yeah, they need somebody else when they get to there. And that's not even necessarily right. I'm not even saying, right? A lot of people go to therapy because they need help getting through something that happened to them, right? I'm from here forward. I'm not from here backward, and that's how I talk to my clients about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the other, Lynn. Just to echo on to what you said, Lynn, I also will recognize if I've asked every question that I really can and the action is not moving forward, I'll put it on myself that I just don't know the right question to ask, and maybe this might be an option. And then I turn it into coaching. What do you think about that?
Well, and I love that because, you know, kind of what's been brought up is that it's not just about the client's boundaries. It's also having clarity about our own boundaries. This is what I'm willing to do. This is what I'm not willing to do. And this is what I'm able to do ethically or by law or by profession or by knowledge or whatever it is, training. You know, we're not trained therapists. At least most of us aren't. There may be some here who are. But that, you know, that if this is a therapy issue, that's not my field. And to have it be upfront and clear and transparent and honest and part of the agreement.
Well, I think the second someone starts talking about, well, I was brought up in a abusive family and so on, then you've got to say, well, you're talking about the past. Let's talk about, it's more, what I think of coaching is being much more, if you've got to talk about therapy at all, much more cognitive therapy, that you're changing now for them, helping them change it.
So this may be a little sketchy ground, but where I sit is just because we hear buzzwords doesn't mean that it's an automatic therapy case.
Right.
It may be that they're, you know, they've come from an abusive household, and that's just their past, that this is kind of what happened here, but that it's not something that's still deeply scarred. Maybe it is, maybe not. And where I sit is that we can still design the alliance about how do we want to handle this? How do we handle this? And that instead of just us cutting and saying, wow, whoa, forget it, I'm out of here, you need help, that we actually get to work together and saying, well, how would you like to handle this? And is this something that would work for you in seeking more professional help or whatever it is? That we still get to design even when the scary stuff comes up.
Yes. Makes sense.
This is Lynn.
Yes.
I don't see therapy and coaching as mutually exclusive either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, I'm not going to treat somebody or work with them on their abusive household or their alcoholism or whatever it is. That's not my field. But I can work with them in their lives in moving forward and how to really handle or work with that to feel their own power and discovery and to be fully aware about what I can and cannot handle.
Yeah.
This is Debbie, and I've worked with a client who was also seeing a therapist at the same time.
Sure.
And it was very clear what we were working on and what she was working with the therapist on. Yeah, and that worked.
So it's kind of interesting, because we've been talking a lot about how we are setting the tone. We are, you know, sort of dictating the questions and the parameters and the boundaries. And so we're designing the alliance with our clients. And yet, if we're talking about coaching as an interactive relationship, it kind of flows all ways. So how do our clients design the alliance with us?
Good question.
This is Lynn.
This is Linda. I was just thinking that as you're designing the alliance and you make it clear to the person that you are not a therapist, If that person says, but I need someone to hear about, I can't just talk from today. I want you to understand my background.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a crime. We're not.
Well, not in all states. Yeah.
It's so funny, Ben.
I heard, this is Lynn, I heard a long time ago a coach say that the TSR clients, have you heard of the new BMW 357 series?
Uh-huh.
Which doesn't. And then she said, okay, you have 3, 5, 7 minutes to bitch, moan, or whine. And uh-huh. then we're going to start cursing.
Yeah.
And it usually lights up, so you're giving them that space to vent because it's energy. And often if they haven't freed up that energy, there is no moving forward.
Right.
So
yeah.
kind of a lighter way to say, okay, I'm more on the clock now.
Yeah.
This is Linda. I'm so glad you said that because I used to have a principal who on the front of her door said, no, she didn't say no bitching. She wouldn't have dared. But no something or other. And then when
mm-hmm.
you walk in anyway,
maybe no whining?
Thank you. No whining. And when you'd walk in anyway, carrying on like a lunatic about, this one did so-and-so and whatever, and my feelings are hurting, she would start with, okay, the clock's ticking. And she literally had, she had one of those little fan things. And so she gave you, I don't know, 3 minutes or something.
Yeah.
And
so what I love what you're talking about and what's been brought up is that, you know, things need to be aired out, things need to be cleared, and that that may be also what's getting in the way of the relationship connecting, is that there's a hot button or an emotion that's kind of, you know, hijacking what's going on. And so the ability and the presence to be able to clear it out so that we can then connect and become aligned, as in designing the alliance. We want to create an alliance, a partnership, so that we can move together forward. I want to take a moment and grab quickly, because it was mentioned earlier, the corporate sector, you know, how does this play in the corporate world? You know, it's not just designing between coach and client. It gets a little more messy, doesn't it?
This is Lynn. All of my coaching is in the corporate world.
Yeah.
I actually have an agreement that is the sponsorship agreement and an agreement that is the coach-client agreement. So I explain to the corporation, right, whoever's paying me, you are sponsoring this coaching, here's how this works. And part of that is definitely the confidentiality. I'm not... I am not reporting on anything that happens in the session back to the corporation. So that is actually set up in my contract.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we talked just, what was it, last week or, no, or last month. It was like last month or a little bit long. We talked very recently about confidentiality and how does that, you know, how does that show up in the corporate sector when the boss wants to know, well, you know, so what did Johnson say? And is he now going to work full time? And, how much do we give? And that's part of the designing. And I love that you bring up that you have several different agreements going on.
I just think that would be horrible to have to tell you. You know, I just couldn't do that.
Yeah. Well, and that's where it really becomes essential that agreements are set up, because as it was brought up in the beginning of this call about you got to have trust. Well, if you don't have trust with your client because they think you're spilling the beans and all their personal stuff to their boss, that's going to be a problem.
You'll never get the meat and potatoes of what's really going on if you don't trust.
You'll never get the amuse-bouche.
I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
You'll just sit there with bread and water, and the waiter hasn't come around to take your drink order, you know.
Much more superficial.
Yeah. So I want to check in. Now, actually, before we move on to our big final question, I do want to grab the password for anybody who's looking for it, wanting to get credits for this call. As I said, you know, once you have the password, stick around for the end of this call. Don't just brush off. And then go to the website, coachingskillsforum.com. Either make your purchase or you can click the button if you're already a 6-month member, then by all means. And be sure to include the date and the skill so I know which certificate to send you. And the password today, I'm just tickled by this one, and I usually like to pull some ones that you guys come up with, but I this one really hit me. I think the password today should be Bunny Rabbit.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, I love it.
I'd be so disappointed if it wasn't. Right.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And this is Linda.
Yes.
You said at the very beginning there was a time to share like book names.
Yes. Go to, on that website, you'll also see Facebook links and LinkedIn links, so you can join that community, and that's where we can also share some of this information. You know, actually, and along that lines, if anybody has like a designing cheat sheet or a guideline that you want to post or share with everybody, questions that you ask, we can even create a list of like, these are the typical questions that we would ask our clients while designing. That may be a fun thing to create as well.
That's a great idea.
Okay, somebody take it on. Who wants to take that on and start that conversation? Does somebody want to do that? I'm on vacation, so I'm not going to.
Well, I'll do it then, Mrs. Hillary. I'll just post the questions that are listed in the coactive book as a starting point.
Yeah, okay. And actually, is that something that we would like to jump in and contribute and add to? Do we have some agreement on that?
I think it's an excellent idea.
Okay. Great.
Maybe the question about how do I know when I've hurt you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great. So I look forward to seeing and watching this list grow and grow. Really fantastic. But the big question I have is looking into, and those who have been on this call before will know this question coming up, so get ready. Start thinking about it. Because in our coaching, we know, hopefully for the most part, that there are two different types of agendas. There's a little agenda, which is the surface, the topic, the issue, the problem that we're focusing on. Then there's what's considered as a big agenda, which is that overall bigger picture about what the coaching is creating, what transformation is occurring in the client. It's a bigger picture thing. And it's really more about who they are being or becoming. And so I believe that there's also big and little versions of all of our coaching skills. And if that's the case, what if up to now all that we've been talking about is really the little designing the alliance? It's all the actions of it. And so my curiosity goes to what is the big DA? What is the big overall arc space through time, sitting on the rings of Saturn or the surface of Mars, looking down, the metaphysical concept. What is this? And let's see how out there we can get. What's the big designing alliance?
All right, Mrs. Hillary, I'll start this.
Go on, girl.
Because you said something about when you first found out about it, you took it home. And then somebody else, and I think it might have been Lynn or Linda, said, what if we could do this with all our relationships? So for me, the big agenda is making this the way we run all of our relationships.
Wouldn't that be amazing if everybody in our lives, we had clear agreements? How do we handle this? What do we do? How do we help and support each other? You know, how do I need you to come after me when I'm hurt? How do I come after you when you're needing help and you don't have the presence to say it? What do we do? Wow, what if we had that with everybody in our life? Mm-hmm. Beautiful. What else? Somebody else, bring it up. What's a big designing alliance?
Well, see, this is Cassandra, really looking at our work. And reevaluating and designing how we're going to be with our work and with the people that we work with in a bigger place.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful. So not just personal relationships, but also the workplace, all of that.
And
great
then
relationship.
Take it to the community. How do we want to redesign our alliance with the community? And then also, how do we want to redesign our alliance with the earth? I mean, we can just keep going.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's get out there. Like, designing the alliance with the earth, not just with all 7 billion people and communities and countries. That would be a crazy, like, wow. Okay, well, if we do something that you don't like, how do we want to handle it? Well, we want to invade your country. Okay, that's going to be a problem. So how do we handle this? Because if we go into this conflict, this is what's likely what will happen.
Exactly.
So how else do we create? What else do we do? And then I love that, having that designing with the earth, you know, Mother Nature. Wow. What else? What's another direction of big designing alliance that we get to really be a part of?
And we can take that, this is Cassandra again, we can take that internally, and then how do we want to be with ourselves in our moments of desperation or depression or quiet or joy?
Ah, beautiful. Oh, thank you. I was kind of thinking in that direction too, and I love that. You know, it's like, well, wait a minute. How do I want to handle it? Let's assume that maybe perhaps I have some choice in this matter. So how do I want to handle it when I get upset, or when I'm feeling, you know, financially frustrated, or when, you know, I feel like, you know, my brother, you know, has insulted me, or when my client, you know, thinks that I'm an idiot coach? You know, how do I want to handle it?
Why?
Well, this is Lynn. I think the interesting thing is to really support clients and understand they always have choice. When I hear very often, I have no choice. I said, You can go in there and slam the door on your boss and call him in every word in the book. That's a choice. You're not going to do that, I don't think, because you don't want to get fired.
But there's a choice. There's always choice.
Always have choice.
It is empowering when you say that, though, Lynn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and there is a choice with myself too, which I want to go back to what was brought up before, that, you know, we fall into habit, and, oh, I'm depressed, oh, I'm sad, oh, I'm angry, oh, I'm going to strike back and, you know, fight, and yet that's an automatic reaction. If we really, truly want to deeply design an alliance within ourselves, we're actually opening up ourselves to that power and that possibility of choice.
Right. And this is Cassandra again. We also talk about how, you know, we may not, I mean, we're learning as coaches to help our clients deal with success in celebration. And that may be something we may need to redesign ourselves.
Definitely. All righty. Oh, anybody, one last burning thing? All right. Sounds like we've it sounds like we've pretty much completed this. Shall we say for now, gang? Does this sound good?
Yes, for now. This is good.
Thank you, everyone.
So how do we want to handle closing this call?
We're at choice as to when we hang up.
Ben, this is Linda.
Yes.
I want to thank people because this is hugely helpful for me.
Yeah. This is really, I love these calls, and I love the brilliance and the wisdom and the depth and the insight that everybody brings to this. I truly believe that these calls are if not the single ongoing powerful coach growing calls out there. Every twice a month we're having these calls, and I think my coaching would be nothing as it is today without these calls. I'm so grateful. And so thank you to each and every one of you for being here. And
hope
is that you will come back.
Hey, Ben, I just thought of a great way to close this call.
Wow.
Remembering that we're having it on 9/11.
Oh, yeah,
that's right. Yeah. Yeah, boy, there was some major designing didn't work there.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know, our topic is about designing supportive environments. Totally coincidental. I'm just following the list alphabetically, and that's how it hits. So I do really look forward to seeing all of you on September 11th, Wednesday, and that is our we're kicking off our September calls with that topic. And like I said, we'll visit thecoachingskillsforum.com for more information and to have all of your incredible questions answered, except the ones that you bring to the calls. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
See you in 2 weeks.
Everyone.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Anybody still here? All righty. See you all on the next call.
Bye.